A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The souls of the just are in the hand of God, and no torment shall touch them. They seemed, in the view of the foolish, to be dead, and their passing away was thought an affliction, and their going forth from us utter destruction. But they are in peace. For if before men, indeed, they be punished, yet is their hope full of immortality. Chastised a little, they shall be greatly blessed, because God tried them and found them worthy of himself. As gold in the furnace, he proved them, and as sacrificial offerings, he took them to himself. In the time of their visitation, they shall shine and shall dart about as sparks through stubble. They shall judge nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord shall be their king forever. Those who trust in him shall understand truth, and the faithful shall abide with him in love, because grace and mercy are with his holy ones, and his care is with his elect. The word of the Lord. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake.
He guides me in right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side, with your rod and your staff that give me courage. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me. No one who comes will I ever reject. Because it is not to do my own will that I have come down from heaven, but to do the will of him who sent me. It is the will of him who sent me that I should lose nothing of what has given me, rather that I should raise it up on the last day. Indeed, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks upon the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. Him I will raise up on the last day."
Verbum Domini.
We welcome back this morning Father Wade Menezes from the Fathers of Mercy, who will be in for a couple of days doing some programs, including being on with Father Mitch tomorrow evening. Well, as we have reached the day of our general elections here in the United States, we turn to Our Lady in a very particular way, asking for her intercession that what is best for the spiritual welfare of our country and our citizens may be accomplished. And we ask through her intercession that the Lord may bless and protect our country, our freedom, and that he may root out all the moral evils that plague our country. And so, entrusting our country and this whole election process to the Lord through Our Lady's intercession, we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now we have black vestments again for the second time in the last couple of days. Of course, on November 2nd, we had All Souls Day. Today is All Souls Day for the Franciscan Order. Or it's the commemoration of all the deceased of the Seraphic Order, in which we remember in a particular way all those Franciscans, the brothers, the sisters, the religious, but also the family members who have died and benefactors of the Franciscan Order. St. Faustina, in her vision of purgatory, she asked the souls in purgatory what their greatest suffering was. And she later wrote that they assured me in one voice that their greatest torment was longing for God. The souls in purgatory are delayed in experiencing the beatific vision, and they desire God now more than ever. St. Catherine of Genoa says that the souls in purgatory unite great joy with great suffering. One does not diminish the other. There's great joy. Again, they know they're going to heaven. There's great suffering because they're not there yet and they are delayed until they experience that purification needed. Father Garrigou Lagrange, the great Dominican theologian, he noted that for the soul in purgatory, the desire of God is very intense because the hour has arrived when it would be in the enjoyment of God if it had not placed an obstacle by the faults which it must expiate. So again, the souls in purgatory, they understand now more than ever the value of the beatific vision of seeing God face to face, and their desire will only continue to grow, and that is a source of suffering. They are assured again of their salvation and that they will get to see God face to face, but not yet. And they have a great desire for God, and they know that they could, again, already be enjoying that beatific vision if they had better prepared for heaven while still on earth. St. Catherine of Genoa wrote a treatise on purgatory, which, again, the Father Garrigou Lagrange, in his work entitled Life Everlasting, he summed up with a very concise outline, and I want to share a few points of that with you. First, for the souls in purgatory, despite the sufferings endured, one's peace grows continually as obstacles disappear. Right? Again, there's that mixture of suffering and joy, and peace is only going to increase because every moment that they're experiencing this, they're getting closer to the Lord. So that peace continually grows. These obstacles are like rust. Excellence grows as the rust diminishes. Again, they're only drawing closer to him. God also increases in the soul the desire to see him. He enkindles in their hearts a fire so strong that obstacles become insupportable. Again, there's this increase of peace. Another point we get from the treatise is that regarding heaven, whoever will can enter there because God is all goodness, right? We know that God desires us to be in heaven. So whoever will can enter there because God is all goodness. But the divine essence is so pure that the soul, finding in itself obstacles, prefers to enter purgatory and there to find in mercy the removal of the impediment. They know they're not ready, right? I know I need to be purified. I'm not ready yet for heaven. St. Catherine, in her vision of purgatory, observed, "I see rays of faith which purify the soul, as fire in a crucible cleanses gold from dregs. When the soul is entirely purified, the fire can no longer cause pain." So then the soul is purified. The soul is ready to behold God face to face. And similarly, we had this image in our first reading today from the Book of Wisdom. We heard that God tested the souls of the just. Like gold in the furnace, he tried them. And like a sacrificial burnt offering, he accepted them. So there is this purification needed, either in this life or in the next, as nothing unclean shall enter heaven, as we're reminded of in the Book of Revelation. And as this is a commemoration for all the deceased of the Seraphic Order, the Franciscan Order, it's also fitting to bring in a couple of insights from one of our Franciscan saints, St. Bonaventure, as he's known as the Seraphic Doctor. He wrote what would become a popular theological handbook, which was used especially in Franciscan houses of study. And it's called the Breviloquium. So he wrote this at the request of some of the younger students in order to summarize and distill important theological points into one short and concise volume. So in the seventh part of the work, St. Bonaventure writes about the suffrages of the church made for the souls in purgatory. Again, those prayers and good works that are offered for the souls. And here are just a couple of points that we get from St. Bonaventure's work. First, he writes that the value of such suffrages is greater or lesser, depending both on the degree of merit of the dead and upon the charity of the living, who may be more solicitous of some souls than others. And this benefit either alleviates their suffering or hastens their release, as divine providence sees fit for each soul's good. So he notes that the value of our prayers and good works offered, it depends on the merit they had. Of course, they can't gain merit for themselves now, but what they had in this life, that merit that they had in this life, but also by the charity with which we have when we pray for them, when we offer good works for their souls. So that's a motivation for us to continue to grow in charity, to grow in holiness. So that affects the goodness, the value of what we pray and offer for the holy souls in purgatory. A second point St. Bonaventure makes is regarding what we offer for the benefit of souls of the faithful departed. He says those acts that are best able to render satisfaction are fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. But the honor due to God is best rendered in the sacrifice of the altar because of the pleasing quality of the one who is offered in that sacrifice, which is Christ himself, right? He is offered. He is both priest and victim at the Mass. Thus, the suffrages of the church consist of such works of satisfaction, especially in the celebration of Masses. On this point, Gregory, which would be Pope St. Gregory the Great, on this point, Gregory tells us in the fourth book of his dialogues that certain souls were speedily delivered from great sufferings through the benefit of Masses. So this is just a reminder, again, that what most benefits the souls in purgatory is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And we do remember the holy souls at every Mass in the Eucharistic prayer. And the final point I'd like to share from St. Bonaventure is his description of the soul that has been cleansed from purgatory, that has been purified. He writes, "There remains in it nothing unfit for glory. Now such spirits are fully prepared to receive God-conforming glory, since the gate to heaven is open to them once the cleansing is achieved. And so they necessarily take flight there, for there exists within them a fire of love lifting them up, and there remains no impurity of soul or guilt holding them down. Nor would it befit the divine mercy or justice further to delay glory once God finds the vessel to be suitable." As we continue this Mass, we renew our prayers for the souls in purgatory, that as they are in their final preparation for heaven, they might be sped up in that purification process to enjoy eternal life.